right, so this afternoon, we're looking at the subject of finding your call. And I'm really interested in this subject, and I kind of touched on the reasons why at the end of our service, but let me recap that. And there's some things I want to put on a whiteboard, so I think we're getting a whiteboard right now. Oh yeah, thank you. And I asked a question, and I got quite a few responses this morning. You didn't say it out loud, but you were shaking your head. A number of you saying you don't know what your calling is or what your special gifts. There's a lot of different language that we use. But I'm interested in understanding how it is that we come to understand what it is that God really wants us to do. And I've been thinking a lot about that in recent weeks and months from a number of different perspectives. Thank you so much. Perfect. Great. All right. So let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together and to think about our purpose, our place in this community, on this island, on this planet, and how we can most effectively place ourselves in your hands as instruments to be used by you to reach people. And so I ask that you'd be with us this afternoon as we look at this topic. I ask for guidance and wisdom. Help me to be able to communicate in a way that will help people to understand what you have in mind for us today, and help me to be able to stay out of the way so that I won't hinder that clearer understanding that you would like for us to have on these themes. I believe you want us to know what it is that you're calling us to do. So help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about people who had a very clear sense of calling, who comes to mind?
Joseph.
Okay, great. Joseph?
Paul, after his conversion.
Okay.
Samuel.
There was, what else? I heard Samuel, I heard somebody else. I'm sorry. Oh, Abraham. Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, I jotted some of those names down. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Do you really think that God intends for each of us to have that kind of a specific sense of calling? I mean, I'm sure we would all agree, okay, not all of us are called to be prophets. So do you really think that if you're not called to be a prophet, you still should have a clear understanding of what your calling is? Okay? Now, I want to be specific today. I'm not talking about sort of in general terms. I know that we're all called to bear the three angels' messages to the world at this time. I understand that. But I'm talking about something more specific. And so what I want to do is share something with you that I've been thinking about. Let's see. Can I do that?
Yes.
All right. Are we on? Okay. Now be free to write some things on this whiteboard. Thank you so much. But I don't know. It looks like I'm afraid that if I'm wearing that thing, I'm thinking like the rocket engines are going to fire, and I'm just going to. No, thank you so much. So I appreciate you really, because you could see, wow, I'm trying to figure out what to do with everything, but I want to stay here. Don't want to get off this launch pad. Okay. You guys are really feeling sorry for me. All right, is that on?
Two buttons to push.
Two buttons to push. We can handle it. Okay. All right. I think you could see I was going to get tangled in this wire, and that was not going to be good. Okay, so what I want to do is I'm going to draw some circles here, and hopefully, this is pretty rudimentary artwork, and hopefully I can pull this off. Okay, the first thing I'd like to do is, if someone would look up Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, and if you'd read that right out, Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Okay, and so in this circle, we're going to put desires. I'll write desires of heart. How's that? And I think this is important because I've noticed a recurring theme. And, you know, there's nothing, I'll be careful how I say this, because, you know, for example, God called Jonah to do something that it would be fair to say that probably wasn't the desire of his heart, right? To go talk to the Assyrians, obviously. He went to some pretty great lengths to go the other way. But I feel like that maybe we have not had enough to say about the importance of the desires of our heart, and that God does tell us that if we delight ourselves in him, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Just recently, my brother asked me if I would do a little project with him. We grew up in Angwin, California. Have any of you been there? Pacific Union College? Okay, so you know. And so we grew up there. We walked to school. Oh, you can't see it. All right. Okay, is that better? Okay. So we would walk to school through the woods, and there was a little trail that we would take. And my brother recently said, I want to go back to Angwin. I want to go back with a video camera and just kind of reminisce on those. It was kind of an interesting request from my brother, who's not, he's busy, has a successful business, and he wants to take time out to go back to Angwin. He said, would you go with me and kind of, you know, walk the trail, and let's go back and look at the houses we used to live in when we were growing up there. And I said, sure, I'd like to do that. And for some reason, I had forgotten all these years until he brought this up, that there was a little trail through the woods that we used to walk on to go to school. And it seemed a lot longer than I'm sure that it is. Because you know how when you go back, sometimes the things that when you were a child, they seem so big, and you go back and they're very small. So, yeah. So it's probably a pretty short trail. But it seemed like a long trail to me. And as I would walk through that forest along a stream, I would dream. And this was my dream. It was very specific, concrete. One day, I'm going to have some property in the mountains with a forest and my own trail to hike. And you know, it's a strange thing. I forgot about that. And I mean, some people have called me like I'm the country living guy, because we've spent so much time traveling around America, visiting cities, asking people, inviting people, urging people that it's time to get out of the city, move to the country. And it was ironic to me that was a dream of mine. It was a desire of my heart, and God gave me that desire. And what's so ironic is, after all, I even forgot that as a child that was a dream of mine. But I was thinking about this in terms of how we really understand God's calling to us, and I want to urge you, don't dismiss the dreams and those desires, and you might even have to think about it. I mean, maybe you've already buried them. I believe that desires of the heart should play a part. They should come into the picture of how you understand God's special calling to you. Okay, I'm gonna move on to the next circle. And this is training. We could say education. But I don't want you to think just in terms of like formal schooling. Not everybody goes to formal schooling, but you still have training and education. And so that's another component. Training and education. Can you think of examples in the Bible of people who had special training in certain areas? Okay, that's interesting. Moses is I'm not going to get into Moses too much right now, because it's very interesting in terms of understanding your calling. there's an interesting dimension about Moses that we need to come back to. But Moses did have training. What's the irony of Moses' training? Anybody know the you know what I mean by irony? It's like there's a strange irony about his training. Is that, do you want to address that?
God took him into the wilderness to handle sheep for 40 years so that he might learn everything he'd learned on, depending on himself, what he learned in the Egyptian school.
Okay, now hold it right there. That's very interesting. And okay, you're hitting the irony. The irony is that he had to unlearn. But I want to make sure, did I hear you say he had to unlearn everything?
No, he unlearned how to be trained.
Did God send Moses to the palace?
Yeah.
Not everybody was ready to answer that with great confidence. Some of you were not sure. We know, you know, Patriarchs and Prophets, in Patriarchs and Prophets it says that that God did send him to the wilderness. I also believe God sent him to the palace because of the way that God saved him. I mean, he could have saved him in numerous ways. He sent him to the palace. So,
he saved him right there. There's a very spot where that order was given to those boys, those babies, to be killed.
Yeah.
Right there, the very spot.
Yeah. Okay. So, apparently there were things that Moses, that God wanted Moses to learn in that education. And then we know there were things he had to unlearn, which is such an amazing irony that it took how long to unlearn the things he had to unlearn? 40 years, yeah. Okay. So I want you to think about, in fact, if you do have a way to take notes, I'd like you to be writing these things down, because I really don't, I should have said this when I started. When I'm done with this presentation, this isn't like, okay, now you're just going to know. But I hope that I'm going to give you the tools so that you're going to move closer to a very clear understanding of what your calling is. But it's going to take time to work through this and to sort of digest in your own experience how these things play out in your own experience. But there's a there's a point at which training now equips you in a certain way, and we're going to be adding things. So we start with these desires of the heart that maybe you had even from the time you were a child. And then training comes into play. And you know, some people look at just this circle right here as being key to determining their calling. And I understand, we haven't gotten there yet, but I understand there's this whole notion of just the voice from heaven, the divine call. And we're getting there. But I hope you're starting to see something, that I'm trying to build some concepts here, that I believe that God works in an interesting, systematic way to deliver his calling to us, and it includes the things that we're going to be going through. Okay, so it includes a sense of desire, a love, a passion about things that God has created us with, that are unique in some senses to you. And sure, there are other people in the world that share those same desires, but not everybody shares them. And then we have training and education. Now, there's another interesting thing that comes into the mix, and that is, my artwork is really going to run into trouble here. Let's see. Sorry, it's a flat circle, but natural talents. Now, I realize that there are some people that like to make a distinction between spiritual gifts and talents. And, okay, it's fair to say that that you could make a case for that. For the purposes of this discussion, I could include spiritual gifts here too, because spiritual gifts could be things that become talents that maybe we didn't have before. But really, we can just kind of clump everything that I'm talking about right now into this general title of natural talents. This is really interesting. Now, by the way, you might be thinking, well, what's the difference between that and the desires? Well, there can be a difference here. We could have a real desire, but we don't have a talent. It's unfortunate when you see it, right? It makes you feel sorry for somebody I had a friend who, his desire was to be the best trumpet player in the world. But that was not here. He didn't have this part of the equation. And so it was very painful to walk through the music department when he was on his way to reaching his goal as the greatest trumpet player in the world. And, you know, it never happened. Not to say that, okay, it still couldn't, but I don't think it's going to happen. So it's possible to have desires, but the talent isn't there. And so I am interested, though, in, I hope you're beginning to see something, I'm interested in where these things start to intersect. Now, what do you notice about the intersection? It's a pretty small area, isn't it? It's very focused, okay? And so we're going to come back to that. But the natural talents is really interesting to me. Sometimes we unwittingly because of our theological bias, if I could use that phrase, unwittingly cause people to bury their natural talents. Let me give you an example. I met a guy on the road a few years ago who was a very gifted artist. He was a painter. And he said to me that he had to give up his art because of pride. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll have the chance to bump into him again someday. Because at the time, I had to think about that. There was something that didn't seem right to me about that. He said that he got very proud about his artwork, so he had to lay it aside. And after I thought about it for a while, I finally realized, I figured out what the problem was, is that he wasn't supposed to lay his artwork aside, he was supposed to lay his pride aside. So he lost something very important that God gave him. He buried it. But it's kind of worse than that, and it didn't come into focus for me until a couple years later, a lady called. She's been a friend of ours for a number of years, and she called with a really interesting question. She said, I'm an artist. She's a painter. And I never knew that about her. She said, there's something that's really bothering me, and I'd just like to get your advice. I've just recently felt that I need to unbury my artwork. It's been buried for years, and I need to start painting again. And there's a class at the community college. It's on Wednesday night. Same time prayer meeting is happening. So should I take the class and skip prayer meeting? Well, what resonated with me when she said that is I myself had felt like, you know, for a period of time I'd kind of buried my musical talent. And I discovered something as an artist. If you're an artist, this will connect with you as soon as I say it. If you're an artist and you haven't been doing your art for a long time, and you do it again, it's almost like you feel like part of yourself just got resurrected, like it had died. And all of a sudden, you're sort of in touch with something again that's been dead for a long time. Anybody here relate to that? And I told her the story of the man that I had met who killed his talent because he couldn't deal with his pride. And so natural talents play a huge part in helping us understand what our calling is going to look like, how that's going to bear out. I hope you start to see something else, because we're not done here with what we're doing, but as you start to add these various components, you realize that every person in this room, well, there might be, let's say there could be three people in this room who paint, right? But if that were the case, I would be relatively sure to say that all three of you don't have the same mix of even these three components right now. So you understand what I'm saying? Is that when you start to combine these elements that we're talking about, you can start to see why you have a very unique set of talents and skills, training, desires that God has given you that will bear out in a very unique way that is totally unique to you. Now, there's one more circle I'm going to try to draw and intersect here. That's terrible. I'm just trying to intersect all the circles. Okay. Well, I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to write need there because this is an interesting component. Because there's desires, there's natural talents, there's training, and incidentally, we all know there can be natural talents without training can seriously do not make the impact that they do with training, right? But this other component is a response to a need. And a calling does not exist outside of a need. It only exists inside of all of these components plus a real need in the world. Can you think of a time in the Bible, for example, when a need arose and a calling emerged? Esther. Oh, that's a great example. Okay? Any other examples? A need arises and a calling emerges. David and Goliath. Okay? Did you have your hand up? No. Okay. How about Philip? How about I'm thinking of Acts chapter 6. You know the story. The need arose, and what came out of this need? There were people that were not being cared for in the church, and what came out of that need? The deacons came out of that need. A calling emerged out of the need, and the calling, though, wasn't just for everyone and anyone, right? So there are these elements plus a need that together... Now, how do you decipher this? How do you interpret this? How do you work your way through this and navigate it? And what I'm suggesting to you now is that's where divine guidance and the divine call comes in, what we've thought of often as the divine call. More and more, I'm thinking that, you know, there are times when God simply comes down and says, I want you to do this. And this seems totally out of the blue to you, and it has nothing to do with anything you're interested in or that you like or seem to have gifts or anything. I just want you to do this. There are times that that happens. But I believe that more often than not, God leads like this, that he prepares you for a calling by planting desires in your heart. And sometimes those desires are there for a long time. And he gives you talents. And he gives you the opportunity for training and to develop those talents. And then there comes a point where you recognize a need that can be filled by these things that God has given you. And God divinely sheds light on your path and helps you to recognize that moment, that this is your time, that this is why you're here. Are you following what I'm saying? And you recognize, I hope, why it's so important for us to understand where this is. Because that, as I pointed out a few moments ago, is a very small focus, isn't it? But that provides clarity about what it is that you're supposed to do and the unique contribution that you have to make. Now, you brought up Moses, and I think Moses is really important because the story of Moses points out something that only more recently have I thought about in terms of calling. Because I thought, now this might sound like I'm sort of undermining a case I've been building here, but I'm really not, so hang with me on this. But the story of Moses bears out that the calling is not once and for all. That callings change with seasons. Callings change with seasons of life. Do you see that in the case of Moses? Now, part of that is because which of these factors changes? I mean, it's possible to add some new desires. It's possible maybe discover some new talents. It's possible to have some new education development. But sometimes a new need arises, right? which changes the perspective. So let's take Moses, for example. What was the calling? What was the calling first? What would you see as Moses' first calling? Before that. Yeah, what would you see as his first? I think we identified it here a few minutes ago. What was the first calling? Where did God take him? To the palace. That was his first calling. And then, amazingly enough, what was the second calling? Okay, we took you here to learn some things. Now we're going to take you here to unlearn some of those things, right? Was when Moses was a shepherd for 40 years, was he fulfilling his calling? At that time, absolutely. And that was preliminary to what was the next chapter? Then, that's right, leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Yes.
There's one thing that a lot of people overlook. Is, remember when he saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew? Right there, that in his heart, it stirred. He wanted justice. He saw that wasn't right. Remember? And he hit him and threw him in there. And that's just the way I see it. From there, when he saw that, and he saw the injustice being perpetrated on his people and everything, I think that's how the Lord used that. Whatever sin that was, because the guy died, and it started working in his heart. And, that's just the way I see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was certainly a huge turning point, and it's another interesting twist, because it was because he did that he had to leave. But in Patriarchs and Prophets, she just makes this really clear statement that it was God's will for him to go to the wilderness. So that tells me that maybe there was more than one way that he might have gone to the wilderness. God was able to use Moses' mistake to get him to the wilderness, which, interestingly enough, related to the same story of Moses, is the case of Pharaoh, who God said, "For this purpose have I raised you up, that my name might be glorified in you." And we all know Pharaoh could have honored God, right? But he chose to rebel against God, but the same purpose was fulfilled. I mean, isn't that amazing? That God could still fulfill his purpose. There's just a different pathway to get there. So, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening there.
First book of the Bible is what I wrote.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a learning experience for him, too. He was unlearning and learning to control him.
Right.
At the same time, while he was there in the wilderness. Because we talk about needs, and the needs change with your calling, because he still had some of the needs were going to come up that were teach him how to be flexible and to depend on God, so that his talent will be used, different talents will come to the forefront at different times of the Israel.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like that sort of the subtle distinction you're making there. That's good. All right, so what would be a useful way that you could start working through this process? I mean, would you like to have clarity on these things? Okay, all right. So what are the steps you could take to work through this? Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like taking inventory. Has anybody recently discovered some desires of your heart that you sort of forgot about? How does that happen? How do we forget about? Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I must have been too busy. Like I forgot. All right, so we have to take some time out, don't we? Is it worth taking the time out to explore these things? I really believe it is. Okay, so I'd like maybe somebody to, anybody here willing to put yourself on the line and say, okay, these are the steps I'm going to take, because I want to get there to this point where I understand that. So here's what I'm going to do. Anybody? You willing to do that? In the presence of these witnesses? No? No takers? Yes?
Can I share an experience? I went through that whole process.
Are you gonna tell us what your
not my desires of my heart right now.
Oh, okay.
But let me share my experience. desire was to serve the Lord. And so I was working with the Pathfinder group out in the Waianae Church on Oahu. And so he was preparing me. And then a friend moved over to the Big Island, which I'd never been to. I have no family member. And in Hawaii, we stick to our family. And all my family was on Oahu. And so she told me to come on over and help with the Pathfinder. So there was the desire of my heart was to serve the Lord. I was training with the Pathfinder Club, and I came to the Waianae Church to start, the Kona Church to start the Pathfinder Club here. So I moved over, not having a job, and I had job security on Oahu. But the Lord opened up the way so I could transfer my position to the Big Island, found a place to stay, and my mom had peace of mind that she said, I guess the Lord must be.
Your mom had peace of mind.
Yes, my mom had peace
of mind. Did you have peace of mind? Okay, all right. And so the rest of the story is you came, you did the Pathfinder Club. Okay. Well, that's it. There's a lot there, what you just shared. But, you know, this is something I think I would take away from what you just said, which is very interesting. You made a really gutsy move. And you were able to do that because you had clarity about what you believed your calling was. That's really important when you make a really gutsy move. Because those moves can be very perilous, right? Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. It's a story of someone who experienced this. Anybody willing to say, okay, I'm going to go through this process. I'm going to inventory these things in my life, and I'm going to start moving forward in a focused direction of where I see God calling me. Anybody willing to do that? You're very timid. This gentleman back here is willing to do it. Did you want to say anything about that?
I just hope that, because I've been praying for a while, what should I do? And I have some interests that I like, but I could always imagine myself doing something, but I don't know, it's just something, I don't feel like it's my calling. I look everywhere, but I just can't see myself being in that position. So I'm just praying that God will lead me to what he wants me to do.
Does anybody resonate with what this gentleman is saying back here? I mean, he just really opened up his heart to all of us, and he really wants to know what God wants him to do. He wants to understand what his place is. We should have a special prayer. Because I look at you. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
18.
Wow, it's like, you know, we're at the end. Jesus is coming soon. We're to occupy till he comes. And my friend, your life is before you. You have incredible potential right now, and a myriad of choices, and so it's so important to make the choices right, and I appreciate what you just expressed, that you want to do that in line with what God's calling is. There's so much at stake because of the impact that you can make, because you realize if we're here, I don't care how you cut it, if we're here, the impact that we can make is so much bigger because we're where God wants us to be. We're using the talents that he's given us. We're living out the desires that he's put within our heart. We're seeking to hone them and develop them. And we're responding to real needs, which we're going to come to in the next session where we wrap all of this up with now bringing this all together back into the whole idea of church and how we put our church on the cutting edge. I hope you also see something else, which I mentioned earlier today, but it's something I've just been thinking about very recently. Because so often it seemed like I was very focused on my calling, what I felt my calling has been. And I've started to think more about, you know, people around me, what their calling should be too. And how much more leverage would there be through God working through, say, our family, if every member of my family is right where that intersecting point is right there? And then how much more leverage would there be in church, in our community, if we were all right there? I mentioned this earlier, so I'm kind of revisiting that. But do you follow what I'm saying? This is it's a huge issue for us. Because the impact on Honoka'a, on the island, on the world, can be exponentially multiplied if we're doing exactly what God has equipped us and called us to do, right? And every one of us can be a blessing, and God can bless through us and even in spite of us if we're not there. But that's where I want to be. I want to be at that place. So I want to close this time. Maybe if there are any other questions, we can take them. And then I want to have a special prayer, and I'd like to pray. What's your name?
Jesse.
Jesse? All right. And I should have asked, was there anybody else who you want to, like, publicly testify, okay, I am going to make a commitment to get on this, to get on this path, to discover what my desires are that God has placed there, what kind of training and education he's already blessed me with in my life that can play into that, what my natural talents are, and what the need is around me right now and how this can intersect. You were going to say something.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't think you have to go in a certain direction.
Yeah, for me, there was a need at my church to have a treasurer. I had no experience in doing it. And so I'm doing it. And then I have some talents here. I used to like to work with numbers when I was younger. And I'm very organized, so I have some of those talents. I have training right now going on with Joyce. So yeah, now I'm coming into this circle, but like, he started off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I thought about this as I was playing with this this week, this just a little simple graphical aid, that you can go in any direction. I mean, God can lead in multiple ways. And, you know, what's sometimes, though, when it starts here, well, I'll just cut to the chase. You know, sometimes the nominating committee, what it really is it's a need, and we just go try to find people to just do stuff. And we're not asking questions like, well, is it their desires? Well, look, we got to finish this nominating committee and get this report voted. Or, you know, do they have talents or abilities? And, you know, training and education is something that you can always get. What's interesting to me, what you said, though, is for you it started here, and then it was sort of like, oh, that's interesting. I always liked numbers, which you really kind of jumped there. Well, you kind of went backtracked there because you were thinking that that's been the case before, right? And you discovered you have some talents there too, which is pretty important if you're going to be doing the church books, right?
You have to be organized.
Yeah. And so now you're getting more training and education. So I appreciate that observation. That's excellent. It can start from any direction. Okay, somebody else had their hand up. Anybody else want to put themselves on the line and say, okay, I'm going to start going. You realize if you don't start going down this path, you're never going to get there. You're not going to discover what your calling is unless you decide, I'm simply going to do this. Yes, Gail.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You don't have to tell me what it is. Now you realize, telling us you've had this big desire, now we're like intensely curious. And but you told us you're not going to tell us. So that's just not fair that you're not going to tell us. But anyway, it's okay. Be unfair.
I remember my sister telling me not too long ago, actually. She said, Gail, if you've always wanted to do this, it's never too late. And I'm thinking, at my age, yeah, it is, really. But
you're rethinking that now?
But I'm rethinking that right at the moment.
Oh, good. This is... All right. Okay, so we're going to be praying for Gail. Jesse and Gail, all right, and I'm sorry,
Diana.
Yes.
To add on to what she just shared, I've read many, many things of people who have discovered their hidden talent, whether authorship, poetry, whatever, in their 70s and even 80s, some people authored their first book. these talents were there. The desire maybe was there and buried, it came out later. So it's never too late, really.
Well, we were talking about Moses. Have you all heard of Grandma Moses?
There you go.
No, I'm not trying to be funny. Grandma Moses, the artist, started painting in her 70s. So, yeah.
Until they were 60-ish, and they still have years ahead of them to put it to good use. So it's never too late.
You know, when you think of this in terms of like our usefulness for God and where the leverage can be the greatest in impacting people, and my hands are tied a little bit, because in the next session we're going to look at how being an artist, something that might seem to you like it's not what we usually think of in terms of ministry calling, but something that could have huge impact and make inroads and reach people that you might never reach in any other way. And that's why it's so important to get back in touch with that, whatever it is. And I hope you'll tell us sometime soon. very good. Yes. All right.
So it's not what I wanted to do, but that's where God put me back.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to be included in our prayer time here, that as you're going to launch out in getting to this place of clarity and understanding this? Yes. Did you want to say something, or you're just okay. All right.
And I did want to say something.
Okay. Yeah, no, Janie, right?
Yes.
I appreciate something that you were just touching on, and I don't want to be presumptuous here, but I'm going to suggest that you actually have another desire that you just haven't articulated yet. Not just how to communicate with people, but how to influence people to make a good decision. Is that fair? I mean, isn't that, just hearing you talk, hearing everything you said about what you're doing, what your interests are, I'm sure that's probably true for all of us. But somebody who's been involved in Bible work and you're looking at call portering now, as you just said, maybe call portering per se is not the great desire of your heart, but you see it as a pathway to get to something that is. But you want to do more than just communicate with people. You want to know how to influence people in a positive way to make better decisions, right? And it's interesting to me that Ellen White said that all pastors should spend some time call portering. I really didn't do that. Later, I learned more about effective approaches to selling and which call porters learn, which is not just about selling, it's about influencing people to make good decisions. And I would suggest that you are definitely going to have a serious training and development in that area by the path that you're choosing, that you're responding to God's leading in your life. And ultimately, that is pursuing that greater desire that you have. So I know everyone here is going to be very excited to be hearing back from you about how that's going. All right, was there anyone else?
Just wanted to look at a different angle, maybe, just for a moment. When I see all of this, and when I think about calling, and when I think about ministry, I think about all this, my mind goes back to our example, Jesus. What was his calling? What was his ministry? Now, obviously, we all have different areas and so on, but I look at Jesus as not having just one narrow, tiny focus per se, because, of course, he preached, he taught, he healed, he, raised from the dead. He did so many, many, many different things. He was there to minister however the Father led him. And when I've thought about his type of ministry and the way my life has gone in some like this sometimes, I have felt ever since I became a Seventh-day Adventist, or shortly thereafter, within a couple of years, that ministry is the way God's led me and leading me, and that's what I still believe today, but ministry has taken many different forms, many different detours, many different routes, and I've stopped and said, well, for myself and maybe others as well would think this, is it necessary that I have one specific, even at this time, calling of just this, that I'm going to be a, whatever it is? Or is it that I'm here to minister, and maybe I'm to do this, and a little of that, as God opens this door and that door and that door? And it may seem a little bit more scattered or not as focused, and yet that's kind of how Jesus was. He got up, went and had his prayer time, went on his way to Jerusalem or Capernaum or Samaria or wherever he was led to go that day, and sometimes it was healings, sometimes it was teachings, whatever. I don't know if you've thought about that, how that could fit in with this, a more general and open mission where, Lord, lead me today, where am I to go and what's my ministry to be?
Yeah, I think there's clearly the whole question of fulfilling the general duties of life, even. I recognize that when I'm talking about this, every waking moment is not going to be there. I still would make a case, and I think you can find it throughout the Bible as you look at the lives of different... Now, you could say that this is seasons of life, okay? But look at how the sanctuary was built. God used certain people with... Who was the one who did the candlestick? Remember? Extremely gifted. Wasn't it Bezalel, who was gifted in beaten gold? That was... That was something that, you know, not everybody could do that. And I'm sure that must have been the highlight of his art, to do that piece, okay? And so there's a certain, now, okay, I'm going to read between the lines here. And, and God gave Bezalel skill, we know that. And that's the case for everything here. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that understanding a focus, understanding God's calling in a focus does not take away from the fact that there are broader opportunities and even responsibilities that we have as a Christian to minister to needs that maybe don't sit right there. But I want to suggest to you that if we fail to really come to understand the special gifts, the combination, the skill set that God has given us, we are not going to fulfill that calling to be all that we can be for Him. And, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there are other things that we do on the way, just as Jesus did too. No matter, you know, if you're the greatest brain surgeon in the world, I'm sure there's still times that you have to take the garbage out, right? Maybe that's a crass illustration, but the idea is there are many things that still fall on our plate. My appeal to you is that we would seek to really understand that those focused areas, because I believe God has focused areas for each one of us that fall in line with those talents, desires, and then the training that we can get. And you've had your hand up for a while back there, so I don't want to make you wait too long. I guess I should have had that dream when I was walking on that trail through the woods. All right. Well, that's very exciting. I'm glad to hear that. Please, how will we be able to hear how this story develops? We want to hear the rest of it. So,
come to Maui.
Come to Maui. All right. All right. Very exciting. Thank you. Yes.
You know, in the book Desire of Ages, the way it mentions about Jesus' time in the carpenter's shop was as important as his ministry. It was during that time he learned those lessons of faithfulness and purpose. Often his work on the things that were not seen once it was finished was as careful in his preparation as the parts that were seen. So I think that really whatever God allows us or leads us into is a preparation for that one, that day soon to come, when the care of this world will no longer be an issue. That will no longer be our issue. she says that that time in the carpenter shop was every bit as important as his later ministry, because it was there that he learned those lessons of faithfulness, attention to detail, and all of those character lessons that made him such a power in his life. And I think that whatever it is that we're doing, we need to see that as part of God's preparation. In that sense of being faithful to duty. I mean, you know, whatever it is, because it's there that we prove our calling.
Yeah.
And we be entrusted with this last message of mercy to the world.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing up that point. And that's another example of a season of life, wasn't it, for Jesus? At that time, that was his very clear calling. It was.
So what I'm saying is, you know, we sometimes say, well, those people getting this call to go to mission field, and oh man, but the real issue is, are we faithful to those little things that God gives us to do today, here in this Honokaa or wherever? Because that's really where we prove that we can be entrusted with this message. And it's not going to be the great teachers and the great Pharisaical expositors of whatever that's really going to be the ones to give to that, where she said she saw him going from house to house with their faces lit, opening the word of God and word of life to people when they so desperately see this world is falling apart. And it's going to be those that in those little things that they did day by day, they showed their faithfulness to God.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, let's kneel for prayer if you can, and we'll close this meeting. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for assuring us, faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. And we know that you will help us to rise to the occasion. And as I look here in this room, I see each person as someone who you're calling to do great things at this important time in Earth's history. And I sense that each person here really does want to know what it is that you would have them do right now. And I want to lift up the people who have especially expressed their intentions to move forward, to really seek to understand. I think of Diana and Gail and Jesse and my friend in the back row here a few moments ago. Pardon? Jane? Yes, but Janie, but also by the door. Donna, thank you. And others I know, too, who have not maybe expressed it outwardly, but they really do want to understand what that calling is that you have for them in this time, right now, in this season of their life, to have that assurance that they know that they're in the place where you want them to be right now, doing the thing you want them to be doing, and that you've given them the unique gifts and the abilities, and that because of that calling that you're going to empower them through the Holy Spirit, so that this becomes more than just any contribution on the planet. It becomes something that's blessed in such a way that it can have spiritual impact. So I ask that you would be with each person, each of us, to recognize your voice and to follow. I ask that you would be with us as we go into our next session this afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity that is ours to share together. And thank you for the opportunity that is ours to have such a great message to share with the world at a time when it's so desperately needed. And we look to you to help us to fulfill that higher calling. In Jesus' name, amen.